We're ready to come to the Word. Last week, we looked at the title, Be Strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And I shared quite a bit of scripture out of the book of Psalms that had to do with the strength of the Lord and us being strong in the Lord. And I want to continue in that vein. I want to continue in that particular theme. Because I don't know, as I was just coming to the end of the year and just reading devotionally through the scriptures, and as I love to read it in the Old Testament, and I was reading then about the kings and how they grew strong, but certain things happened to them once they were strong, that this just hit my heart to share with you about being strong in the Lord. I believe the Lord wants us to be strong this year. I said that last week. And I said that he wanted us to be strong physically, spiritually, financially, mentally, emotionally, socially, in every way that the Lord wants us to be strong. Then we also considered a number of scriptures and how, you know, we all have a certain amount of strength, physically that is, and in other ways as well. But how ultimately we need the Lord. How ultimately we need the Lord. Let me say this. The Lord wants us to be strong, but only in him. Amen? He wants us to be strong, but only in him. When we are strong apart from him is when we run into trouble. We looked at a scripture last week. We're going to look at another one this week. We are strong in the Lord when we put on Christ, because when I said be strong in the Lord, we immediately think of Ephesians 6 and 10 that says be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. And then, you know, Paul takes us through the armor. The sister epistle to Ephesians is Colossians. And in Colossians, Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to obey in the lust thereof. And so in Ephesians, he says, put on the whole armor of God. He's just saying, put on the belt of truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, so forth. Same thing, you're just putting on who Jesus Christ is, right? And staying in Jesus. So, therefore, being strong in the Lord is very much a choice. Being strong in the Lord. When Paul said, be strong in the Lord, he was speaking to the people you as understood. You be strong in the Lord. And so he was telling the people, encouraging the people to do something, to be something, but it was also something that the people had to choose. It was also something that the people, because to pick up the armor, right, to actually walk in truth, you'd be surprised how difficult that is. That every time somebody asks you a question, that you always say all the truth all the time. Now it's easy to tell some of the truth. Some of the time, and you think, "Well, I told it was true what I said." Did you hear that? It was true what I said. Yeah, part of what you said was true. See, it's easy to do that, but to tell all the truth all the time—that's a totally different situation. But that's what Paul meant when he says, "Take the belt of truth and gird your loins with it." When he said, "Pick up the breastplate of righteousness." To walk righteously before the Lord as a choice, you know, that's something altogether different. What I want to do is I want to read some scriptures. I love reading the scripture. I love just hearing the word of the Lord. Amen? Paul said, give attention to reading. Do you know that you and I need to hear the word of God? Amen? Not just from put on a cassette tape and let it run, you know, because you know how we do. You can put on a cassette tape. I ain't paying no attention to what's going on that cassette tape. But we need to hear the word of God, just like we just heard Jeremiah 31:17. And Moses and I were just talking about that during the break. I'm a last hope of that scripture. There is hope in your future. Lord Jesus, I'm going to be chewing on that for a good, long time, church. I'm telling you, that thing is in me. It's off the pages. It is inside, right? And it is doing its work, amen? So I want to read and make some comments on some other passages of Scripture the way we did last week, talking about the strength Being strong in the Lord. Father, we pray right now. And we thank you, Lord, that any strength that we have, Lord, we recognize that it comes from you. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Lord, we recognize this. Lord, as we come to your word, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would speak to us on the inside. Father, I pray that that new man which is of the Spirit, which is created after God in righteousness and true holiness, that he would hear, O God. Holy Spirit, you would speak to us, Lord, that word in season, that word that speaks right to us right where we are. Lord, as we break open the word of the Lord, as we hear the word of the Lord, we thank you for the work that is going on by your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I like what Moses, I think he said either, maybe we were talking in the greeting or he said it during his testimony. But Psalm 71, something that he said that made me think about this Psalm 71, verse 9. Psalm 71 is a psalm that David wrote when he was getting older, okay? I believe in Psalm 72, at the end of Psalm 72, it said, the words of David are ended, okay? Psalm 71, he writes as he's growing older, and this is what he said in verse 9. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. Now, I'm talking about being strong in the Lord, but in talking about being strong in the Lord, I have to talk about your strength and my strength, right? Because I don't know about you, but I'm not strong all the time. Amen. Is anybody here strong all the time? David said, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. Can I say that physical strength wanes with age? Amen? We know that to be true. Physical strength decreases with age. You might say something like this. I can't do what I used to do. I'm not able to do it the way I used to do it. Well, David knew that his strength wouldn't last forever. In this case, we're talking about physical strength, right? I just got a little reminder when New Year's Day, when I woke up, I recognized that I had the flu. And I felt in my body, I was not at all my normal self. I was achy, skin very tender, it just felt yucky. And my strength that I normally was endued with, y'all know about that. My strength had waned, and I said to my wife, I had already told her the day before, I said, honey, on New Year's Day, here is my list of things. And I laid it out because I was going to get it done. I was going to hit it hard. And when I got up that morning, I said, honey, that list, it's been revised. So that thing was put on hold because I physically could not do what I was used to doing. So I lost strength for days. I was going to do some simple things that I couldn't do any longer. And I began to recognize the limitations of my own strength. If we're going to be strong in the Lord, one thing you're going to recognize is the limitations of your own strength. See, because in order to be strong in God, you have to recognize that you need him. In order to, when Paul said, be strong in the Lord, you can't be strong in the Lord unless you recognize that your limitations are such that it's going to cause you to run to who he is. And so, and in order for us to be strong in the Lord, we must recognize that there are limitations to our own strength. David recognized this in the fact that he was getting older. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29 reads this way, the glory of young men is their strength. Thank you. The glory of young men is their strength. You know, when you go watch college football, oh my goodness, There's a team playing right now, NFL football. This one guy, every time he makes a touchdown, he does a bicep pose. You know, he just, that's, you know, it's about strength. That's what this is all about, and it is true. The glory of young men. I remember a case in point last year after church. There were some people in this church who went outside and demonstrated the length of their strength. The one, his name was Emmanuel. Emmanuel went outside, and there was another young person that followed him. Her name was Mommy. And then there was one other person bringing up the rear who was representing some of us older people, but yet young and strong. And his name was Carl. And these three went outside. And you know how we do when you're young and strong, you talk a little bit, you know. I got this. Let's see who's going to win this. And so they all got down in their stance. And we had one cheerleader. His name was Moses. He was running around. And so they got down and somebody said, on your mark, get ready, set, go. And they took off. Why? Because the glory of young men is their strength. Right? And so, but it goes on, it says, but the splendor or the glory of old men is their gray hair. Oh, come on now. Now, see, you can't appreciate that second line of that scripture until, now see, James, see, Jim back there laughing because, see, he get a, you can't appreciate that until you get some age on you. See? I tell young people, I say, now you're young, but you don't know anything. Huh? I'm not being mean. I finally realized that when I was young, I didn't know anything. Why? Because now I'm old. I know a whole lot more now than I knew when I was young. Now, you couldn't have told me that when I was young, though. This is why old people need young people, and young people need old people. See, young people have the strength to get it done, but the older people got the wisdom to lend counsel on how to get it done, right? So we need each other. So God put this thing together. He knows what he's doing, right? All right. So, I like to modify that scripture a little bit when it says the glory of young men. We could add young women in there, you know. Just that theirs is not the physical strength, right? You say, well, what is it, Pastor? We're not going to go there right now. Amen. But in 2 Samuel chapter 21:15, we see further David's limitation of his strength. That's a scripture that reads, it says, when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines. And it says this, and David grew faint. David grew faint. Now, I don't know what type of picture you have of David when you think of King David. But the scripture says he was ruddy, and it says he was cute or beautiful. He was a good-looking young man. I don't know what type of size you picture David. But David actually began to grow weak. And when he began to grow weak, it was I don't know what some of your favorite Old Testament heroes or characters are, but one of my favorites is David's nephew. His name was Abishai. He was one of David's 37 mighty men. I'm not talking about I'm talking about the 400 men here. I'm talking about the 37 mighty. Okay, David had a nephew. Joab was David's nephew, son of Zariah. Joab and Abishai were brothers. When David, before David died, David told Solomon, because Joab deserved to die, he told Solomon, make sure you take care of Joab. Well, he's talking about his nephew, because David was a just man. He says, Solomon, make sure you take care of Joab, because he killed Amasa and he killed Abner. Both men, better than he, they were both the heads of the armies of Israel. Well, Abishai was the one who, when David went down and saw Saul sleeping on the ground, Abishai was with David and said, "Let me strike him to the ground." Abishai said one of these man phrases that I just love. He says, "Let me smite him. I won't have to do it a second time." Abishai said, "When I do it, it's done. Man, that boy is dead." I said, "My God, I love that. I love Abishai because he was a man's man. He was all about business. I mean, he was this scripture that talks about strength. He says, when I do it, it's done, man. Come on, David, let me do it." David didn't let him do it. Anyhow, so they're fighting the Philistines, and David gets weak, and what this is, the son of Goliath sees David and that he's weak. It says the son of the giant, of the giant, not a giant, son of the giant. So this son of Goliath now is approaching David to kill David because David's so old now that he's getting faint in battle. And when he approaches David, Abishai breaks out of nowhere, and he slays this guy. I mean, just takes him down, just cuts him down, and he saves David. And so David, in his life, we understand that his strength was waning. What's interesting about it is that physical strength decreases with age. But let's talk about spiritual strength. Because spiritual strength does not decrease with age. Why? Because spiritual strength is not dependent upon years, right? Not physical years. Spiritual strength is dependent upon one's relationship with the Lord. So, you can be young, but be a spiritual giant because you walk with God, right? So, Psalm 71, verse 3, David says this, be my strong refuge. Psalm 71, verse 3, be my strong refuge. We're talking about being strong in the Lord. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. To which I may resort continually. And we know to resort. We know that's used as a verb right now, but the noun we all love. We all love to go to a resort. Okay, but I'm not talking about a resort. Okay, so a resort we like to go to is where you lounge around and relax, you know, get some R&R and everything. But David says, be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. Notice he says continually, because earlier I said we are not always strong, but God is. We are not always strong, but God is, right? And so David, noticing, recognizing that he's getting older, recognizing that he's losing strength, he says, Lord, be there for me that I may continually turn to you, that I may continually run to you for safety. Run to you for help. When we're talking about being strong in the Lord, we are talking about a person who is always running to God. We're talking about a person who, whenever something happens in their life, the first thing they do is they turn to Jesus. They turn to the Lord. I think about 9/11. You know, they show the picture of Bush when he had this blank look on his face. I don't know if he didn't know what to do. Probably didn't, but who knows? He could have been praying and saying, Lord, what do I do? Because when you get news like that, that's bigger than you, beloved. Come on. You need a place to run to that's higher than I saw. Psalm 62, David said, Lord, he said, be that rock. He said, the Lord is my rock that is higher than I. And when I get into a situation, into a problem that's too big for me, I run to him. I run to him. That's what David said. And so here in this passage of Scripture, he's saying the same thing, that I may continually run to the Lord. The Lord is present that we may resort to him continually. We resort to him continually when we realize how much we need his strength. We run or resort to the Lord continually when we realize how much we need his strength. The only thing is, we don't have strength meters on us. You know what? You don't know how bad you need God until you are put in a situation where you are overwhelmed. And when you are overwhelmed, then you say, oh my God, I need, and then you find yourself running. Psalm 71:16, David said, I will go on the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. Psalm 73, verse 26. We sing this one well, or quite a bit, so you'll know this passage of Scripture quite well. David said, whom have I in heaven? There is none in heaven that I desire beside you. Right? It's the song that we sing. He said, my heart and my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And we can all identify with David. Let me ask you something. Have you ever been so exhausted and so spent that you felt like you were ready just to give up? You just was ready to lay down. So, I ain't got no more. I can't do it anymore. I'm through. I'm finished. David said, my flesh and my heart fail. He recognized that there was an end point to his strength. He recognized that there was an end point to how much he could take. As man's years are on earth, so is his heart. Man's years come to an end, so does the strength of the heart of man. We would like to think that your heart can just take any old thing and every old thing that can be thrown at it, but David said, no, the strength of my heart is the Lord. He talked about being strong in the Lord. So since David was prone to emotional heart failure, he let the Lord be the strength of his heart. He said in Psalm 27, 13 through 14, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, I would have lost heart. I would have given up unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Something that God has put in every believer. It's called hope. I mean, even though the situation is bad, you keep believing. You keep trusting. You keep hoping that God's going to turn that thing around. It's what the Hebrews boys did. Amen? They said, even if he doesn't, now we hope he does, but even if he doesn't, we have our mind made up. David went on and he said this, wait on the Lord. This is key to being strong in God. This is key. He says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Moses and I were talking during break, and as we were singing How Great Is Our God, he was taking note of how the scripture says, and time is in his hand. Time is in his hand. Not only that, in Psalm 31, I believe it's verse 5, where David says, my times are in your hand. My times are in your hand. And so as we live this life, and you know, we have circumstances that come about where you and I pray, and some of us have had circumstances that when they arose, we prayed and we thought there was going to be immediate victory, immediate turnaround, only to come 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years later. And there has been no significant turnaround, yet God has strengthened you to go day by day through that circumstance. Why? Because as you wait on the Lord, as you wait on him, each day you wait, each moment you wait, he gives strength. David said, wait on the Lord, he will strengthen your heart. When we wait, he strengthens. You say, how do I make it? How do I get through? Wait on him. What's going to happen? He's going to strengthen me. Wait on it. Is the situation going to change? I don't know if the situation is going to change, but he's promised to do this. If you wait, you're going to get strength. If you wait, you're going to get stronger. So what does that mean? Does it matter if the circumstance changes now? Why? Because I got strength to go through. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. He has provided the strength that we need. Waiting on the Lord, actively believing you'll see God's goodness in your life, will incur the strengthening of your heart by the Lord. There are some circumstances that left 2012 and have bled into 2013 that we would have said, you know, been great if they'd have stayed in 2012. Okay? Right? Am I talking to anybody? Okay. Right. Now, well, so the circumstance didn't change. It's still there. But you know what God has provided for in 2013 because you're waiting on him? He'll strengthen your heart. He'll strengthen you. Sometimes you say to yourself, I've heard Katie say before, I don't know how I got through that. I don't know how I got through that. But here I am today standing here. Well, we all really know. She knows how you got through it. He strengthened you. He strengthened you. David said in Psalm 138 and verse 3, David said this, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. In the day I cried out, you answered me, made me bold with strength in my soul. Psalm 86. Verse 16 reads, oh, turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and the son, and save the son of your hand, excuse me, the son of your maidservant. Christ is our source of our strength. Christ is the source of our strength. So when strength is needed, cry out for it. You know, it was Paul who said in Philippians 4:13, we love that verse. We quote it for all kinds of things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We put the emphasis on I can do all things. Hello? We, you know, as human beings, we like to put emphasis on the part that we do. I can do all things, but God, I'm sure, is really looking at through Christ who strengthens me. Listen. Paul was not talking about, when Paul said, I can do all things, he wasn't talking about getting out of a circumstance. My God. That's what we want. Now I got a negative circumstance, and I want to break through this thing, and I believe that through God, I can do all things. I'm breaking out of this thing through Christ who strengthens me. Paul said this, I've learned to be hungry. He said, I've learned to be full and to suffer need. He says, I can do all things. What Paul was saying was, he said, if I got to go with lack, if I have to go without, I can do that. If I got more than I need, I can do that. But know this, I can do it all through Christ who strengthens me. But when we say it, beloved, we say, God's going to get me out of this thing because I can do all. See, to be strong in the Lord, what it means to be strong in the Lord is to go through whatever I have to go through. I'll go through whatever I have to go through for his sake and for his glory, right? So when we need the strength, we cry out for it. I got to get to Isaiah 40. I may not get to my, I haven't even gotten to my text yet. I'm just reading scripture. Because I don't know about you, but scripture exhorts me. When I read it, it's just like, it leaps inside and it tears and it just, it's like making a house. I mean, it's just building you up, right? So I haven't got to my verse yet. I haven't got to my verse, my text. And this next one is not going to be the text yet either. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to stop here and finish it next week. But because as I was reading, and I come to, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to read, now I need to get to verse 28. But when I was reading backwards, you ever read backwards? You read a verse of scripture, and it's good, right? You say, I wonder what's before it. Then you read the next one before it, and my goodness, I went all the way back to verse 1. I said, my God, So we got to read the whole chapter of Isaiah 40. Because some of you didn't get to read Isaiah 40 this year, last year, right? That's okay. We're going to read it today. Okay? Because there's some very powerful things in here. Then I'm going to close. Isaiah 40. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. That her warfare is ended. That her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry out, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up to the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings. Tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. Now, I hope you're getting the picture when you read this, that God measures the waters of our planet in his hand. Now, that's not literal. That's prophetic language, figurative language. But it's letting us know how big God is. And when you think about how big he is, and you think about the puniness of the situation which confronts you and I, come on. As I was reading this, it was as if the Spirit of the Lord was saying to me, son, you need to consider how big God is. You just need to consider his person. You need to just sit down and meditate and let this seep into your spirit how magnificent God is. Because the situations that address us, the situations that are before us, are nothing before our God. You'll see in a moment. So he says, who has measured the waters? Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span from thumb to index finger? That's a span. God measures the heaven. Weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or as his counselor has taught him? That speaks to me, church. That speaks to you, because who has at any time offered God a viewpoint that he hasn't considered, you know? You and I, we do that oftentimes. We say, but my Lord, that can't happen. What are we doing? We're offering counsel. We're trying to tell him how it ought to be. And but when you sit down and consider who he is, you'll be like what the scripture says, that All of creation has shut its mouth because you'd just be dumb. Won't be anything to say when we consider who he is. With whom did he take counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge? And who showed him the way of understanding? Now, those verses 12 through 14 are talking about God. Isaiah prophetically, the Holy Spirit gives him these words to say. And right after that, right after this grand picture of who God is, it turns to you and I. You ready? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket. Oh, this is... And are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. All nations, Iran, come on, North Korea, all of these nations are counted as nothing before him. We serve a mighty, mighty God. To whom then will you liken God? And what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image, the goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. In other words, if you don't have silver or gold, you go down to a tree. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. I don't like to see people die, but one man, you know, there's one leader struggling for his life right now, president of Venezuela, as we understand it. Hugo Chavez is an infection, and they're trying to get him through this. And he said many things over the years that would seem to want to incur wrath. We're praying for this man. Lord, save him first. Save him that he would come out of this thing. But the nations are as nothing. The leaders, there are as nothing before him. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted, scarcely shall they be sown, scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when he will also blow on them and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Now this is first person, God is speaking. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One. The song written by Vashon Mitchell, sung by him at least, that says, it's called Nobody Greater. I looked high and low, looked everywhere, couldn't find nobody greater than you. So he says, to whom will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number, who calls them all by name. The scientists believe that there are, number one, thousands if not millions of galaxies, and in each galaxy that there are billions of stars. The scripture says, now they don't know how many stars there are, but the scripture says he calls them all by name. Who are we dealing with? Come on now. He calls them all by name. And then he says this, by the greatness of his might and by the strength of his power, not one is missing. In other words, God knows where each and every one of the stars are, and there not one of them is missing. And one scientist calculated that if the whole universe was out of kilter, 1/10 of 1 degree of measurement that I don't even know, he said everything would implode. Everything, it would not be possible for us to even be here. What do you say, O Jacob, and speak over Israel? Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak over Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. In other words, Israel was wrestling with the fact that they didn't think God saw what they were going through. Yet he can call all the stars by their name. Come on. Listen. Oh, my Lord. Help us, Father. Help us to know you, Lord. Help us to consider your greatness. Help us to know, oh God, that as great as you are, my Lord, that there is no thing that we are going through. There's nothing about us that you don't know. There is nothing about us that you have not already provided for, oh God. For you see it all, and you know it all, my God. Help us to know this. Help us to be overwhelmed with who you are, O God. So Isaiah goes on and he says this, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Now listen, this is one thing that I love about God. I love it about him. I just sit down with him and I'm talking. I said, Lord, I can't get over you. You know, he's our Father. We love him because he first loved us. And yet, there is this awe about him that when you're with him, you're saying, for real, Lord? Because I'm trying to get this in. Now listen, God is one, this is what blows me away. God is one who that when he gives out, he never has to take back in. Now you and I, when we give out, brother, we got to go reload. Oh yeah. You give out encouragement, guess what? Someone's gonna have to encourage you someday. Because you ran all them crazies who keep needing all this encouragement. You're going to need some strength. You're going to need some help. But you see, God is the one, and I love watching these science shows where they talk about stuff way over my head. Now, Bill would understand everything they're talking about. But when I listen to it, I don't understand any of it except for the enormity of what they're saying. And so they mention things like, I believe it's a supernova, something on the scale of if our sun can hold 3,000 of our Earth. Now, is that about right? I don't know. But if you can get that in your head, that's how big our sun is, that it can hold, or is it 300 or 3,000 of our Earth? Beloved, that is huge. Now, I don't know about you, but that's blowing my mind. Then in this program, they said they found a star that will hold like 3,000 of our sun. And I am like, God. And now, all of this is out there, and the universe is expanding and so forth. Where it says God gives power to the weak? You know that God gives power when you look out at the galaxies. Yeah. All that comes from him. Yeah. All of that power, all of that light, he just flings it out. And he doesn't fling it out like this. He just said, let there be light. And it just... My God, this is God. This is God. This is the one that we're going to be with forever. And he says, I'm your Father. And we say, Jesus. Jesus. This salvation that we have, beloved, this salvation is far beyond anything that our minds have really grasped right now. When we get in glory, Jesus said to his disciples at one point, he said, what if you saw me in the glory that I had before I came down here? He said, what if you saw that? Jesus said, shall I send up where I was before? Oh, my goodness. One day, beloved, we can't take it now. Everything is limited. But one day, when we get on the other side, Jesus is going to, that word revelation, that word means to unveil. It means to manifest, to disclose. And Jesus is going to disclose his glory to us, beloved. I mean, you just ain't seen anything yet. That's why that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us, beloved. It's worth dying for. It's worth everything in this life. And I mean, it's just not worthy to be compared. So, Isaiah says to these Israelites, he neither faints nor is weary. So when I said earlier that physical strength wanes with age, God has no strength meter either, because there isn't anything that could measure his strength. He never gets tired. He never tires. He doesn't tire of hearing me come back to him over and over and over and over again. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. So if you've ever felt powerless, as I'm sure you have, you've ever felt like you can't affect what needs to change, you don't have the power to change a certain circumstance or situation. Well, we're not going to be strong in ourselves anyway, right? We're talking about being strong in the Lord. Amen. We're going to run to him, because in him is all the power that I need. In him is all the strength that I need to overcome. And so he says, listen, verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary. So those young people we were talking about earlier, come on, you and I included. Come on, Melody's young. Mary's young. You ever get tired, Mary? Yeah, yeah. You ever get weary, Melody? Yeah. You get. Oh, Christina's young. Yeah. See, but it says that even the youths shall faint and be, even those who are normally strong and full of vigor and able to get the job done and able to go forward, even they are going to tire. The young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait. Church, we need to wait this year. We need to wait. Now, some waiting is voluntary. Some waiting is compulsory. I mean, some waiting is mandatory. Some things God, you know, things are orchestrated where you cannot do anything. You cannot move. Other waiting is, we all now wish Abraham would have waited. And when his wife suggested that ill-fated plan of Hagar, no, Abraham, no. But Abraham wouldn't wait. Abraham thought, yeah, honey, I think that's a good plan. I think we can roll with that. And here we are. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, we know why it says that now, because Psalm 27 says, wait on the Lord and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait on the Lord, and he will strengthen thy heart. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What's interesting about this, as we want to wait on the Lord and as we are going to be strong in the Lord this year, this passage of Scripture doesn't just say that they're going to receive an impulse of strength. It actually says they are going to run and not grow weary. Now, it's one thing to get an extra burst of strength, but then get tired again. But this is saying they're going to run and not grow weary. They're going to walk and not faint. Well, why is that? What is that a picture of? That is simply a picture of a person who is waiting and being strengthened. Waiting and being strengthened. And if you're always being strengthened, you won't grow weary. So as we wait on the Lord, as we wait on him, so will we be strengthened, and we can be strong in the Lord this year. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your truth. Thank you, oh God, for your divine presence. Thank you for your divine power, Lord, that has made us partakers of your divine nature. Thank you, oh God, that you are in us, oh God. Father, Lord, to bring about your purpose in our lives. Thank you that as you are bringing about that purpose, Lord, that we're going to wait on you this year. Father, we're going to wait like never before. We're going to be strengthened like never before. We're going to hear, oh God. We're going to see things. We're going to move into things like never before. We're going to realize, oh God, that which you are disseminating, that which you are opening up, that which you are revealing, oh Lord. And as you do that, oh God, Father, we're going to take refuge in you, oh God. Lord, we're going to give you all the glory and all the praise. Father, we're going to recognize that it's your strength and not our own. And so I pray, Father, Lord, that as we wait on you, Father, as we receive infusions of strength, Lord, divine power, oh God, Lord, for where we are right now, Father, I thank you, oh God, Lord, that it will be done, Lord, for your purpose and for your glory. Lord, that it will not, Lord, cause us to go off into pride, Father, or into foolishness, but, Lord, into that which honors and glorifies your name. Oh, we thank you for it right now. Now let it rest upon us, Lord. Let us increase in what it knows and what it means to wait on you and be strong in you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.